favorite allies. Fully loaded, we got snacks and supplies. It's time to leave this town. It's time.
Today my guests are Richard Campbell and Carl Franklin.
Hi, hey guys,
how you doing?
Good to see you, David.
Good, David.
Thanks a lot for coming here. We just got done with your .NET Rocks road trip stop in Southfield, Michigan. Mm-hmm. Fantastic show.
Thank you.
How long has this thing been going on?
We started September 19th in my hometown in Vancouver, British Columbia.
That's a great city.
And drove down as far through Seattle and Portland, and then a really long drive from Portland to Salt Lake City, and then Denver, and then Omaha, and then to Minneapolis, and then Chicago. And
that took a break for a week to go to Bulgaria.
That's a break, right?
Yeah, well, we got a day at home on each side, and then fly to the other side of the world to do a conference.
And then you're going, you're leaving here to go to Columbus.
Well, then we went to Indianapolis yesterday, and then Detroit here today. Tomorrow, Columbus, and then where are we going after? Pittsburgh,
right.
And
that's a lot.
Toronto.
And then a lot after that. How long is the whole trip?
75 days.
75 days is a long time. This is not the first trip you've done, right?
No. First one was in 2005, which was totally his idea. I was the brand new co-host. I had no idea what I was in for at that time.
Yeah, you were only 20 shows in or so, and I said, hey, I've always wanted to do a sort of a road trip. The sponsors are in. Microsoft is in. I've called all of the iNetta user groups I could find and lined it all up, and we did 20 cities in 30 days.
That's pretty
in 2005.
And when you were done, you said, that was fun. Let's do it again in a couple of years.
Yeah, and our wives said,
yeah, don't do that again.
So
I
just got a new wife.
Problem solved.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was 2005, and we timed it so we ended in San Francisco at the 2005 studio launch. Hmm. We did not do 2008. But when 2010 came around, we had an opportunity. They sort of came at us to do it again. We did a shorter trip, though. It was only 15 cities only. In 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. So we did a West Coast trip, a Midwest trip, and then an East Coast trip.
Okay. How's it going so far?
Well, this one's totally different because this one's bigger than the other two combined. It's 37 cities.
Okay. So you're like 25% through it, 30% through it?
Yeah. This is 10 so far.
10 out of 37.
Yeah.
37. Oh, you do the math.
Yeah, so we've got a ways to go yet. But, I mean, the good news is, we've been working together for a long time now. We're pretty comfortable with each other. We have a friend of ours, Alan, or a friend of yours, really, who's become a friend of mine, who's driving the RV for us. Various folks getting on and off along the way. But it's a ton of work, but it's really enjoyable work. It is hard, but we have a great time doing it. So,
When something works and it works well, you just want to keep doing it, right?
So I know this is the 10th night in a row you've done this, and you're giving the same talk every night. But I have to tell you, I was in that room tonight. And there was a ton of energy in that room.
Yes, there was.
People were excited.
They were.
About you guys being there, the talks you were giving, the interview you gave with Jeff Wilcox. I was excited to be there. I could feel the energy.
Well, the interviews are different in every show, which is great. I mean, we never know what's going to happen there. But we keep polishing our talks, too. They're not quite the same. And the humanitarian toolbox is something we were only just starting to be able to talk about. It first came out in Chicago. And so it's only been the past couple of stops now we were allowed to really talk about what's happening there.
You were talking about that earlier. That's one of the driving forces behind this trip is so you could promote the humanitarian toolbox.
That's right.
What is that?
So right back in the formative stages of the tour, which is several months ago, we were talking about a charity element to the tour. And we were really just brainstorming about
it. Richard and I always wanted to get behind a charity. But it turns out that Matt Nunn, who owns the marketing team for Visual Studio in the U.S., he also wanted to get behind a charity. So it was really Richard's idea to put this thing together.
Well, and I happened to stumble into something that was going on at Microsoft. At the time, I didn't know it was happening. And my concern was, you know, you really want to get into something as a developer that you can contribute your skills to. But, you know, we like our software to live on. You know, you want it to persist. And the conversation ended up going into stuff like Katrina, where that was one of those moments where we really saw software do great things, where we were able to help people that were looking for loved ones find them, finding lost pets, getting resources where they needed to go, just really starting to use technology in a different way. The problem was that when Katrina was over, although one could argue Katrina's never been over, a lot of that software got lost. You know, stuff got repurposed. People started working on other things. There was no real repository or way to keep it. So we were talking about disaster relief, we really got into this idea of how do we make it persist between disasters and how do we accumulate knowledge? How do we get better over time? And so when those sorts of thoughts kicking around, we started coming up with a plan, and as it got pulled into Microsoft to talk about it, it turned out there was an initiative going on already that was looking for people like us. Because they had a vision of working closely with the non-governmental organizations, the NGOs, that are specialists in disaster relief, but not specialists in software. Just how do they help get good software to them? And then they found us, who were like, we're going to go talk to an awful lot of developers. Let's get a message together. And it took some time, and we're only in the very early days, but that's where humanitariantoolbox.net came from. It's an initiative supported by Microsoft, otherwise independent, using a group of different charitable organizations that help build software for NGOs, and they want to get the greater public, the greater software developing public involved, because there's a lot of software to write.
So Microsoft is donating Azure, basically, as, you know, whatever you guys need in the cloud, you got it. And these guys already are on the ground writing these websites and standing them up in disasters, but they need help in writing their stuff. And they also want it, as Richard said, to persist, because when a disaster happens, that's not the time to look back at the code you used the last time and figure out how to repurpose it for this new disaster. What we want is something where we have checkboxes and we have wizards, and, you know, in a matter of minutes, somebody non-technical who understands the problem can stand up a website, can deploy apps to phones, and get stuff that works in this situation.
So as you're promoting this, are you looking for people to give money, give time, give their skills? What are you looking for?
At this point, humanitariantoolbox.net is up. There's not a lot there. It's brand new. There are folks working right now to start building the requirement sets with the NGOs to start figuring out what source we want to build. You can sign up and at least get notified. But I see in the near future folks like you, David, you know, as a community leader, putting together events where a bunch of developers can get together and work on a set of requirements developed by the folks at Humanitarian Toolbox to start building the code that these NGOs need. You know, you got to think about today with the cloud infrastructure, with smartphones, like imagine a missing persons app. You know, you go back to Katrina and they were just trying to get names and get them checked off on lists. But can you imagine taking a smartphone and while you're in a bandwidth rich zone, loading it up with all the folks that are being looked for, and then being able to go into these disaster relief centers away from connectivity, being able to go from bed to bed, space to space, and find folks, find them on a list, but not just check them off and say, hey, they're in this facility. How about shoot a little video clip for their loved ones? You know, something you can, when you leave and get back into the world and back into connectivity, you can pass some real information on to those families. I mean, I think that's very transformative. And think about, you know, we're all doing the same thing right now. We're writing it in our head. That's not that much code. It's not. But talk about profound code. And talk about code that if we can get into those open source libraries and we can build this up so that every time we need the help, boom, it's there. And the app will get better over time. More platforms, better support, easier to use, lower bandwidth, all the things that make it robust in a disaster situation. That's what we can build up.
And what a great way for somebody to not just to contribute, but to learn along the way.
Sure.
I mean, anytime you get a bunch of developers together to write code, there's learning. There's an exchange of ideas and information that goes on. So you're becoming a better programmer and a better person at the same time.
Sounds a lot like GiveCamp.
Absolutely. I mean, very much the same model. Although, I mean, one of the challenges that's always been with GiveCamp is what happens after the GiveCamp is over. I mean, the charity obviously gets some product, but, you know, it's challenging to work on from there. And what excites me about what's happening in humanitariantoolbox.net is that there are professional resources being assigned to this project that are going to curate, that are going to keep the code alive, that are gathering the right requirements, that are validating what's written and making the next step so that we as developers who have real jobs as well get a chance to, the next time we have a weekend free, continue to contribute, to build up.
Right. We're looking to make reusable parts, and just like a toolbox, stuff that can be assembled quickly into something specific for a particular disaster.
That sounds like fun. People can sign up now?
You can sign up right now at humanitariantoolbox.net, and obviously there'll be more there as time goes by and we get more information together.
And can I start working on it now?
There's not much to work on right now. It's just we want to find the folks that are interested and start getting going. we want to make sure that we don't go in the wrong direction, that we're actually talking to the disaster relief professional, these non-governmental organizations, not what we think we should build, but what they know they need. And that is a challenge, right? It's going to take some time to get that right.
We can give them ideas, of course, but in the reality is that they understand their domain. We're just here to provide support. Microsoft is doing the cloud support. We're giving the code support. And I'm looking forward to writing some code for this myself.
Any idea what that time frame is between now and when?
It's soon. You know, there's a goal here to take advantage of what we're doing on the road trip, where there's some code camps and things coming up that maybe they could actually participate in this stuff. So we're in a race, but, you know, it takes. We don't want to go so fast that we do things wrong. It's got to be right. So, you know, gathering requirements takes time, every time.
So for now, just sign up, and we'll let you know when there's stuff to do.
Okay. Call to action there. What's that URL again?
HumanitarianToolbox.net.
Okay.
And if you go there, give yourself kudos for spelling humanitarian correctly.
That's the vetting process.
Yeah, that's it. You must be this smart.
Are you... So where to next after this?
Next stop after this one is Columbus. And then
that's in a movie theater.
Yeah, a great facility.
And I went to Star Trek down there. Yeah. Jeff Leichenberg is
Yeah, looking forward to that. And then Pittsburgh, which we've never been to before. Yeah. So that'll be good.
That's the game museum.
Yeah, right. No,
what did you just say?
Game museum is Rochester.
Oh, Rochester. Oh, I'm sorry.
Did you say game museum?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Rochester.
This is part, you know, the in as much as we give the same presentation to stop after stop, no two stops are the same. Not only is it a different audience, it's a different venue, it's a different style. Like, you never know what's going to happen. Of course, we bring it.
This was the best barbecue, though, so far.
Oh, yeah. We had some. Thank you for no pizza.
Food was good.
We had some very good barbecue. I think brisket was outstanding.
But, yeah, it was.
Yeah,
best brisket.
Very good.
Lockhart's barbecue. Folks.
Yeah. Nice.
Anyway, every venue is different. And this next one we're going to in Rochester is an actual museum of games. So you will see. You'll be able to go back in time and play Pong. You'll have old arcade games. It's just a fun place. I've never been there, but it was suggested by a community leader there, and we went with it.
Yeah. So, yeah, every one of these shows is going to be different. We've had big ones, small ones, and I know we'll have more. We're going to be able to be part of a couple of different code camps along the way as well. So we got a long way to go yet, but we're looking forward to it. It's a lot of fun.
And, you know, I just want to take a minute to thank Telerik. Because they're our major sponsor, and without them, this wouldn't be our job. But this really is our job. We don't do podcasting on the side. This is our full-time gig, and it's really we couldn't do it without their support. So thank you, Taylor.
Yeah, they makes it work, and we have a bunch of sponsors on the road trip. Guys like Preemptive, Component One, Onterra, who built the tracking application for us. It's a lot of different people that pulls the show together like this. Yeah.
Magenic has kicked in a couple of places. Yeah,
Infusion. Who else? It's almost hard to get through all the lists now. There's a lot.
Apprenda.
Yeah, no, Apprenda's involved. So different stops, different people. It's all a part of the adventure.
I didn't see your RV this time, but I saw photos of it. It's almost like a NASCAR.
It's like NASCAR, plastered with
ads on it.
Yeah, we love the RV. That's really part of that dynamic. And the tracking app, too. You know, we can tweet with folks and as we're traveling and see where we are. You can complain we're driving too fast. You know,
Now, you've heard Monday's things I've learned this week.
You haven't done Mondays in a long time, have
no,
you?
No. But you know what I'm talking about, things I've learned this week. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I learned something.
And that is?
That when you drive away from Clark Sell's house and you hear a cha-chunk, and you remember that you left your suitcase under the wheel well of the RV, that can only mean one thing. Yeah.
Yeah, you need a new suitcase. That suitcase is not a suitcase anymore.
It doesn't close.
Yeah. Yeah. United Airlines had nothing on what that RV did to that bag.
I only lost a couple of things, nothing major.
Seemed like a good idea at the time. Just stick the bag under the RV. What could happen?
Hey, Carl, you think you ought to move that? Nah, we'll get that. I got to still put my stuff away.
Not like I'm going to forget it there.
I know.
It's always stuff like that.
Now let's go drink.
Yeah. What could go wrong?
Well, I got to tell you, I'm really glad you guys were crazy enough to start this road trip.
Thanks.
And I'm really glad you included Michigan in your stop. So thank you very much.
And thanks to you and Jennifer Marsman and everybody here at Microsoft. You guys did an amazing job.
It was a pleasure.
May that stop easy for us. Thank you, David.
Let's go get lost anywhere in the USA. Let's go get lost, let's go get lost. Blue, you sit so pretty west of the one. Sparkle like with yellow icing, just a mirror for the sun. Just a mirror for the sun.
Friends, friends, don't let friends use bad technology.
I used to use technology. I still use technology, but I used to also with my friends.
All right, Mitch Hedberg.